Lord, take my lips and speak through them. Take our minds and think through them. Take our hearts and set them on fire with love for you. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. What the children would normally be doing in there at the moment is to be involved in godly play. Now, some of you will know exactly what godly play is. Godly play is really a resource, a way of telling stories, especially telling stories to children and young people. And more often than not, it starts with some sort of object, some sort of common object, and you say the words, "I wonder." Now, you may have heard quite a lot of Derwin sermons beginning, "I wonder," and you may have thought that was a sort of habit of his, as it were. To some extent, that may be true. But it's also the sort of basic way in which that particular way of teaching children, and indeed us, can be done. "I wonder." And you take an ordinary object and you say, "I wonder what this reminds you of." And the children come up with all sorts of ideas, and then you begin to develop from that idea and lead into the story. Now, I'm going to do the same to you. I have got an object here. If you can't see it, those at home should be able to see it. If you can't see it, it's a slice of bread. I wonder, what is that reminding you of at this moment? If I go round the congregation, I think I'd get however many people there are, different answers. It may be remind you of the sandwiches you're supposed to be making for lunch. Or it may be it reminds you of bakers. And it reminds me certainly of an old baker who was in his 90s, who lived down in Hampshire, where I visited not long after the war. And he had been baking bread all his life, and his fingers had got sort of twisted and gnarled as he was so used to picking up large, heavy lumps of dough and slicing like that, and it would be exactly a pound loaf of bread. He was a lovely man. Or this object may bring back memories of family picnics, or a cooking disaster when you forgot to put in the yeast, or in more recent times, maybe it represents a thank you that a visitor at the food bank expressed when they picked up provisions for the family. And as we are in church, particularly, this slice of bread may make connections with our gospel readings, both last week and this week, from John chapter 6. When, after feeding the 5,000, Jesus explains what he means when he speaks of himself as the bread of life. A few years ago, Pauline and I came across a small book with a striking title, Sleeping with Bread. Sleeping with Bread. I'm just showing it to the folk at home. Its opening words were this: during the bombing raids of World War II, thousands of children were orphaned and left to starve. By the way, I think this doesn't necessarily come from this country. It certainly could do, but maybe another country. The fortunate ones were rescued and placed in refugee camps where they received food and good care. But many of these children had lost so much and could not sleep at night. They feared waking up to find themselves once again homeless and without food. Nothing seemed to reassure them. Finally, someone hit upon the idea of giving each child a piece of bread to hold at bedtime. Bread time, that's a joke. Sorry, didn't mean that. To hold at bedtime. Holding their bread, these children could finally sleep in peace. All through the night, the bread reminded them, "Today I ate, and I will eat again tomorrow." As we know, several meals are remembered in the Gospels. Jesus often surprised his onlookers by the sort of company he kept as he ate with people. He had meals with friends, particularly his friends in Bethany, and of course with the disciples in the upper room in that famous meal. Without doubt, the crowd on that day on the hill remembered, because this story occurs in all four Gospels, and no doubt the incident was talked about widely in those years. Jesus took the small offering of the young boy, and when he had given thanks, as we read, he distributed it. John does not describe this event as a miracle, but rather as a sign. So the implication is that as the boy shared his food, thus setting a good example, everyone else who had a bit of food with them shared it too. At any rate, as a result, there was enough for everyone and plenty left over by all accounts. No wonder it was a meal remembered. But actually, the crowd are more interested in their bellies than they are in who Jesus is and what he was trying to tell them. And so they follow him round the lake in the hope of getting another quick snack. And when they find him, he uses their meeting to probe their motives. "What you need," he says, "is not just food that fills your bellies, but a different sort of food that lasts for eternity, that comes from God." Well, intrigued by this, they ask what they must do to find this food. And Jesus says that they need to believe in him. "I am the bread of life," he said. "You'll never be hungry with me." And as the story in John's Gospel unfolds, Jesus reveals a little more about himself. His true nature was being progressively unveiled, and his listeners were being challenged to have a broader perspective. So what Jesus does in the eyes of John, the gospel writer, is to use this cultural norm of his time, namely sharing a meal together, and you may be reflecting how much we have missed that sort of interchange over these last 18 months. He uses that cultural norm to deepen their understanding and ours of who he is and what he is doing and why he's doing it. To return to the children sleeping with bread, that observation led the authors of the book to develop a simple way at the end of each day to discern God at work, how God has fed us during the day, as well as seeing where we have felt hungry for him. They simply gather as a family, light a candle, and ask two questions. For what moment today am I most grateful? For what moment today am I least grateful? There are other ways of asking those two questions. When did I give and receive the most love today? When did I give and receive the least love today? When did I feel most alive today? When did I most feel life draining out of me? When today did I have the greatest sense of belonging to myself, others, God, the universe? And when did I have the least sense of belonging? When was I happiest today? When was I saddest? What was today's high point? What was today's low point? You can use your imagination and probably think up some other similar questions. From this great chapter of John, chapter 6 of John's Gospel, let's remind ourselves how we can feed on Jesus. This whole service, and I know it's not a communion service, but that, I think, in some ways doesn't matter. This whole service is in fact a reminder of all we need to experience life in all its fullness, to receive the living bread. Consider these elements of our service. At the beginning, God's call to us to worship and follow him. Personal trust that he is in control and is always seeking to draw us to him. That's why we're here. Regular prayer, reading of the scriptures, deepening our understanding of them, allowing ourselves through bread and wine sometimes to be often reminded of his life given for us. The elements of repentance and forgiveness and being sent out at the end to serve him in the community in which we live. Everything is here for us to receive the nourishment we need to experience God's life in all its fullness, for that is the way every human being is intended to live. So to return to this simple everyday object, I wonder,